You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Miss, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan. And you're listening to Season Crinky of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast. The podcast in which Ryan is the expert of Warhammer 40K, and I'm an intermediate trying to learn more about the Warhammer universe. And for anybody who doesn't know, Crinky means five in Latin, because we're nerds over here. So if you're not a nerd, then get out.
I forgot you were doing that. It really took me by surprise.
Oh, I'm trying to learn Latin now, Ryan.
Are you? That'll be very challenging, because the only people on the planet that still speak it are the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I mean, if you knew how to speak the language, you got an instant job, though. Like, job security
for life. I don't think that's how that works. I think it's the other way around. I'm giving you want to be one of the higher-ups. You got to learn it. I don't think that they just take in anyone who can speak Latin.
I have wasted my whole life.
I have wasted the last 5 minutes of my life. How will I ever recover from this?
Oh, no. Ah, shit. That's fine.
Oh, God. Oh, big stretch. You ready for this today?
I think I am.
Oh, you have no idea, my dude. You have no idea.
So confident. I think I am.
Okay, so, as everyone should know by now, we are on orcs this time. That's our whole thing this season.
It's just orcs. Yes.
So, we left off with... What do we leave off with? That's a good fucking question.
Oh, I can't even
Grax.
Remember.
Yes, we left off with Grax ransacking Ryza. That's what we did. So, that whole event, it did actually last like 70 years, but it kicked off in the year 925 of the 41st millennia.
Mm-hmm.
So the next event we're going to talk about is actually in 931, 932, somewhere around about there. So we're skipping like 6-7 years, right? This is an estimation for when this occurs. But I hope you're prepared, because we're getting into the good stuff here.
Okay.
I hope you're buckled in for this, right? Because we're getting into the big stuff.
Okay.
Buckle the fuckle up, kitty. Right. Do you remember how this whole orky mess started with me having to, like, go over the War of the Beast again pretty quick? Because there was, like, extra details. And it was all about that planet Euroclius that was taken over by humans, then orcs turned up and killed them all. And then Eldar and stuff moved in, and then the humans turned up again. And then in the War of the Beast, they took over, and orcs just moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're back on that planet. That's where we're kicking off here, right? Back on this planet. About, like, 7,000 or 8,000 years later. So it's just been orcs here for, like, 8,000 years, basically. And this is where we're kicking off. So the planet is now just called Urk, rather than Euroclius.
Yes.
Because orcs.
Because orcs. It's easier to say for them.
Exactly. What orc has got? What self-respecting orc is going to go around saying Euroclius? No one.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I think their tusks get in the way as well. Yes. And our story is genuinely just about one random orc. It's a total nobody, right?
Okay.
But that's the thing about nobodies, is that when you're a nobody, you have the potential to become anybody.
Ooh.
So we start on this frigid world called Urk, which it's a snow planet for the vast majority, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a point where someone calls it a pile of Grox turds that are frozen on the outside and baked red hot in the middle.
Hey!
Yeah. It's a good way to think of it. And the particular spot on this planet that we're looking at is just white. It is just snow for miles and miles around this bit.
Yeah.
But right in the spot we're looking, there's a little bit of green. An orc hand sticking up through the snow. So, as you know, orcs are mushrooms. They grow underground.
Mushroom
in a little
spores.
Sack.
Yeah.
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 So this guy's only just been born. Our boy here has, that's how I'm going to refer to him, by the way, just our boy, right?
Our boy.
He's literally in the process of being born. He's only just managed to get a hand up through the snow. But the ground's frozen, so it's an absolute nightmare trying to drag yourself out of the ground, because it's in the middle of a blizzard. And
yeah,
that's pretty unlucky, because the cold will kill orcs. They are mushroom-based life forms. The cold can kill mushrooms. So the cold will kill him if he's left here long enough. So not a lucky start for our boy. And it gets slightly unluckier because something spots his hand. A tundra squig. A black tundra squig. One of the fancy ones. Right?
Ooh.
And it's a big bastard as well. It spots his hand and goes, ooh, a snack. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of a frozen tundra. A mushroom hand sounds like a pretty good snack. So this tundra squig is like, that'll be me. So it goes over and just chomps right over his hand. You gotta remember, it's just a ball with teeth. So it just right over the whole hand. It's a big-ass mouth. And it clamps down on his wrist. But before it can chew right through the wrist, the hand grabs right around the base of its tongue and rips its organs out of it. Just
Damn.
Pulls the thing inside out, basically. So, the benefit of this is, well, one, he kept his hand, and two, it spills all the things like blood and bile and everything all over the ground. And I don't know if you know this, but typically living creatures' innards are quite warm, so it softens the ground a bit and allows our guy to drag himself up through the ground. So he stands there in the middle of this frozen tundra, in the middle of a blizzard, with a dead squig next to him. So he does the only two things, or the only three things you can do. He eats the meat of the squig to get himself fed. He wraps himself in its pelt to keep him warm, and he starts walking.
What
the
a trooper.
Only three things you can do. Now, he just starts walking, right? Because he has no idea where he is, what's going on, or anything. He knows nothing. He is newborn, right? He is as wet as you get. So he just starts walking. And eventually he finds a, I'm going to say stronghold, but it's severe air quotes here, right? It's basically, it's what they call a stronghold. And its title is Gogduff. That's the name of this place. But stronghold is a questionable term because it's basically a shitty rusted wall of like scrap metal surrounding like five buildings and a squig pen. To call it a stronghold is a
bit
brave
of a stretch.
Overstatement.
It's a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
But this is where a clan of Goths live. And I don't know if you remember, but the Goths are the orcs that just... They're basically the most typical orcs. They just love a good brawl, right?
Yeah.
These are just your box standard, fits perfectly to the stereotype orcs. And as you might imagine, they don't take particularly well to unwelcome visitors. So this guy, our boy, turns up at their door and just starts banging on the door. Like, let me the fuck in! Just banging on the door. At the time, the chief of this orc Goth clan was in the watchtower shouting at a bunch of his troopers, because that's what you do. And obviously they see this guy coming up and they hear him banging on the gate and everything. One of the boys, thinking, I'll get back in the boss's good books, jumps on one of their turrets to go blast the shit out of him. Thing is, as much as that was like positive mental attitude, not try to be, you know, forward thinking, like I'll try and do something to cheer the boss up here, all it got him was another earful and a slap from the boss, because the boss has spotted this guy and thought, that's a big ass black like tundra squig pelt he's wearing, I want that. And the thing is, he wanted it in one piece, not full of bullet holes. So he slaps this trooper who tries to shoot him and is like, no, we're going to go down and get it. I want the thing. So they go down, they open the gates, and our boy just marches straight in right up to the chief and headbutts him. Doesn't say
our
a word, just straight headbutt.
He's a badass.
Yeah. So, like, the chief had known that this guy was clearly tough, because one, he's just walked out of a blizzard, and two, he's wearing the pelt of a big-ass squig. So, like, he's obviously got some fight in him. But after getting the headbutt, the boss just laughs, and then proceeds to kick the ever-living shit out of our boy. Yeah. Like, beats him half to death, because how dare you. But he did find it funny. So he takes the pelt, and then he starts walking away, and they start closing the gates. But before he, like, gets too far away, he shouts for them to, like, drag him inside, give him to the docks to patch him up, and feed him. Right? Mm-hmm. They want this guy. He's a cool dude, right? He's clearly tough. He'll be worth something someday. That's the idea.
Yeah.
So, our boy is taken in. And, he gets fed, and he starts making himself useful around the place. Whatever they tell him to do, he goes and does, basically. And eventually, they're like, all right, you know what? You've got a bit of fight in you, and you've got a bit of heat on your shoulders. We'll give you a chance. So they put him in one of the raiding mobs, so a little squad of orcs for raiding places. And he becomes a trooper. So they give him a rusty, shitty chopper, and they give him a shitey helmet. But he does get fed now, so that's something. And he starts going out on raids with this goth mob. And they're just raiding other orc strongholds, because that's all there is to do on this planet, really. Yeah. So they're just ransacking other orcs and stealing shit off them for a laugh. And our boy gets big. He gets strong. Right? He wins a lot. He does well. Right? Mm-hmm. He becomes a biggin. And he also learns quite a bit. Right? Because, again, they're raiding, but he's also just like living life otherwise. So he learns quite a bit. Because you gotta remember, he is newborn, basically. So he knows nothing. And he learns about Gork and Mork. He learns, you know, what it is to be an orc. You know, the way that they live. And he also hears things about the galaxy. And he wants to know more about that. That part fascinates him. He gets a bit of an obsession with it. So he starts asking questions. And specifically to the chief, he's asking him. And he keeps ignoring him or slapping him when he asks. He can't be bored with it. But one night, they're all in their wee tavern getting pished. They had stolen a bunch of alcohol from one of the other orc tribes. So they're all just getting shit-faced. And this time, the chief decides to answer our guy's questions. And he tells them about the galaxy and how there's planets and there's loads of planets and that there's other species, other races and stuff, aliens and the Humies and all this stuff. And why, like, this whole thing kind of ends, this whole speech that he does that enthralls every orc in the tavern, kind of ends with him staring out a window. And our boy's like, follows his gaze, and he realizes he's staring up at one of the mountains nearby. What is it called? Rackblood Peak, that's what it's called. So, the chief explains that the lights that they can see on this mountain are a Humi stronghold, right? From back when humanity ran this planet. This is like a last living bastion. Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
But it's abandoned. There are no humans left. This place has been humanless for like 8,000 years. Right?
Yeah.
But the stronghold's still there. Or it was a Beaky stronghold. Beaky is their word for Space Marine, by the way. Which I found hilarious.
Twinkie. Yep.
Yeah. So, through a bit of trickery and a bit of convincing, our boy gets the boss to announce that in the morning they're going to go ransack that place, right? He kind of tricks him into thinking it was his own idea. Right?
Planted a seed in his brain. Yes.
Exactly, aye. So the boss announces in the morning we're all going to go ransack that place. He basically just goes, get what I've decided. I hate that place. We're going to go fuck it up. I believe it turns out it was like a communication post or something like that, right? So it wasn't like a big thing when the orcs did attack. So they basically just cleared the planet and that place happened to get ignored. So in the morning, everyone readies up and the whole goth war band decides to go ransack this joint. And the thing is, the place might have been empty of humans, but it wasn't defenseless. It had a bunch of automated turrets. Which they accidentally... they still worked, yeah. And the orcs accidentally activated them when they went to attack the place. So they're all charging up, thinking this is going to be a piece of piss. Like, this is going to be boring. Nothing's going to happen. And the next thing, a hail of bolter shells start peppering all the orcs.
And they love it.
Yeah, by the time they, like, break in and start tearing all the turrets off their mounts and everything like that, by the time the last turret is torn apart and the orcs, like, are all, you know, like, chanting because they've won and all this, it takes a bit, you know, but they do manage to win. They do manage to, like, take the place apart and, you know, steal any scrap that they want and stuff like that, steal ammunition and things. The thing is, our boy is not one of the ones at the end of it celebrating, because he got hit by one of the turrets right at the start. Got shot right in the head. it kind of blew his skull apart. He lost an eye, he lost the vast majority of his brain, and he lost a huge chunk of the back of his skull.
Yeah, that's not too good.
Yeah, so our guy's just lying in, like, in a bloody heap with his brain and skull and face plastered on the snow. yeah, so thing is, he was technically still alive, but he was in no position to, like, get up and walk back to their camp, right? And Goths don't really do carrying, so they left him for dead. And, like, he was 90% of the way to dead anyway, so, like, meh, fair game, I guess. That works for you. So they just left him to die in the snow. So our boy's lying there, brain plastered across the rocks in the snow. But he wasn't dead. So he kind of gets back up after a little bit. After he's been, you know, totally abandoned. He kind of gets back up after a while. And he has a little poke around to figure out how much he's missing. Because he can't hear anything. He can't see shit because he's missing an eye. His other one barely works now. So he has a little poke around, and once he pokes a bit and his legs start twitching, he's like, you know, I'm going to stop poking in there. So he just takes his hand out of his own remains of his brain. And so he's basically forgot everything he learned up until this point. He doesn't know shit about, you know, how to be an orc properly anymore. Right? He doesn't, like, know, like, how their weapons work or anything like that. He doesn't know much about, like, you know, the culture of it all. So, or anything like that, factory, really.
Essentially, like a factory reset.
Essentially, yeah. It turns out the part of his brain that handled hearing, a large part of what handled sight, and the vast majority of the rest of it, was blown clean out of his skull. So it doesn't leave room for much remembering stuff. The one thing he did remember, the one memory part of his brain that seemed to cling on for dear life to what was left of his head, was the bit about the gods. So the one thing this dude did remember was Gork and Mork.
Of course.
And he's in a situation where he's got half, or he's got like a third of a brain left, maybe? One eye, one ear, and, you know, about 40% of a skull left, but he knows the gods exist. So he does, like, the one option he had, and he demands that the gods provide some divine intervention to get him out of this mess.
Okay.
And the gods don't respond, right? The response is total silence. But they're not angry at him. It's not like, how dare you demand things from us. Orc gods don't work like that. The way orc gods work is, like, you can boss them around all you want as long as you remember that they don't have to fucking listen to you.
Yep.
So the thing is that he realizes, our boy realizes, that the silence is the answer. They did answer him by doing nothing, right? Because what they're telling him is not that they don't want to help, it's that he's not worth listening to, right? He's a nobody. He is literally nobody, right? Doesn't have a name at this point. He's just some rando orc that's done nothing with his life so far. Why the fuck should the gods listen to him? But he realizes the gods are telling him, if he can get himself out of this situation, then he'll be someone worth listening to. They're giving him an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? So he does basically the only thing he has the option to do. He stands up, he holds his skull in, and he starts walking. Just to go try and find someone to patch his skull back together.
Great.
Yeah.
As you do.
So, yeah, aye. And he's done this once before. I mean, he had a whole brain at the time, but he's done this random walk for a goal, generally speaking, once before, and it worked out pretty well. So, well, it ended with this, I guess. So, not so well, but, you know, it worked out pretty well for, like, a month. So, he just starts walking to see if he can find something patched about it together. Eventually, our boy arrives in I guess you could call it a town. It wasn't really a town. It's somewhere between a stronghold and a town, right? Called Rustspike. There's a whole thing with this thing called Rustspike. It's named after the fact that they started... Orcs found this bit and started digging here, and they found this big rusty spike sticking out of the ground, right? And then they dug further, and it turned out it was the tip of an ancient tower, right? From when humanity had this place. And they basically just excavated part of it and then built a town around it because it was good for scrap. That's the gist.
Yep.
So, our guy eventually makes it to this town called Rustspike. And the thing is, he didn't make it there alive. He was quite dead when he got there. Okay. Well, he had came down with a mild case of death. Right?
mild case.
Yeah, mild case. He gets over it, but mild case of death. See, okay. There's an orc doc in Rustspike, a guy called Grotsnik. Right, he's a crazy motherfucker and a truly terrible surgeon. He's like, think of like Frankenstein shit. That's what Grotsnik was about, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Frankenstein, but he's terrible at it. That's the gist, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a sign above Grotsnik's door that just, it's a quote from one of his like happy customers that just says, "It's an eye, I guess." Because he gave someone a bionic eye that barely works. And the guy's response was, "Well, it's an eye, I guess." And he uses that as a proud quote of the skill of his work.
Great.
Yeah, so that's the level of doctor we're dealing with, right? But this guy, he just likes the experimenting part. He doesn't give a shit if it works. So he put out an order to all the orcs in Rustspike that he will pay for orcs, dead, alive, or even just parts of them. Right.
Okay.
And because this order was, everyone in Rustspike knew about it, a bunch of orc troopers found our boy lying dead in the snow and thought, free money. So they took him to Grotsnik. So the next thing, Grotsnik's got our guy on his surgery table with his head stripped to a million bits, trying to put it all back together. And somehow our guy is breathing at this point. Right? Our guy is technically still alive. Barely, but he is technically still alive. Grotsnik slaps his head back together, gives him a bionic eye, and then patches his skull with a big piece of metal that he had found. Which, or someone had tried to sell it to him. The guy that tried to sell it to him claimed it was a plate from the arse end of a suit of Terminator armor. And after realizing that meant it must have been like 6,000 years old at this point, Grotsnik has this idea that metal, good metal, is like good alcohol. The older it is, the better it is.
The better
it is. So
he
shanked
the
guy and stole it. And he's just been holding on to it ever since, waiting for like the right opportunity to use it. And
this is now.
Well, that's it, because our boy's been lying on his table with his head ripped apart a million ways for Sunday for hours now. Usually people don't last an hour on Grotsnik's table, but Grotsnik's been ripping this dude apart over and over again for hours now. And he should have died over and over again, and this guy just, our boy just did not feel it. He just was not having death today. So Grotsnik's like, this is it. This is the right opportunity to use this bit of metal. This fancy bit of metal of wood. So he grabs it out of his bit bucket and rivets it onto the guy's head, and it fits perfectly. It is a perfect fit for the back of this guy's skull.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, our boy is still alive at the end of all of this, right? It's like, I assume it's like the third successful surgery Grotsnik's ever actually done. But he was a bit overexcited and decided, I'm going to use this tough bastard as an experiment, because I've got a surgery I've wanted to do for ages,
and I've never had someone I could do it on. This guy's a perfect example. So he replaces one of his knees with a bionic knee. It's very slightly better than the perfectly fine knee he tore out of the guy to replace with a bionic knee. There was nothing wrong with his knee. He just wanted to give someone a bionic knee.
That makes sense. It makes total sense.
Exactly, right?
You know, I mean, to be fair, the longevity in the big bionic one, I'm just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that orcs get, like, joint pain, so I don't know we would have had any issues with the old one, but, like, I mean, who cares? It's slightly better, at least. That's something. Also, if you need to...
future investment.
Think about it, though. If you need to, like, knee a space marine in the stomach, do you want to do it with like a mushroom flesh knee, or do you want to do it with a bionic one?
Exactly. It's a future investment, Ryan.
That's it. It just gives you more options. So Grotesnik replaces one of his knees. The issue that comes from this is that the blood loss from having his knee unnecessarily replaced, which I assume was quite severe, was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and our guy died on the table.
Oh.
Didn't stop Grotesnik finishing the surgery, but he did. But he died. In typical Grotesnik fashion, he just yeets the guy off the table and, you know, does the little snap to have his grot servants come and drag the corpse away into the... He's got a yard at the back of his surgery tent where he has, like, a body pile and some scrap that he uses to piece things back together. So our guy is dragged out back and thrown on the body pile. And there is a grot in that yard who lives under a couple of pieces of sheet metal, and his entire job is to, once someone is thrown onto the body pile, his job is to go and reclaim the bionics that are still functional from the corpse and put them back in the bit bucket, right, for the next surgery. Yeah. So this little grot comes out with, you know, reclaiming stick, his getting stick, which I think is just a metal spike, to be honest with you. It climbs up on top of our boy and starts trying to wedge the plate off the back of his head. But as soon as the stick hits it, he gets electrocuted.
Ooh, and he's back to life.
Well, shortly after, the body starts to twitch like hell, like it's having a seizure, and then he kind of, like, you know, comes back to life a bit and grabs the grot that's standing on top of him and stares him dead in the eye. And I'm going to show you something here. This is a good picture for this, but what happens when he stares this grot in the eye is the two of them basically live out this series of visions, right? And the visions are like, it's hard to explain. It's like mass amounts of orcs being like true, honest to God orcs, like the way that they were designed to be, like the original, like Crocs kind of thing, right? Like the idealized version of an orc, the way that they think they are. Massive amounts of them. And then they see the gods, and they see orcs bigger than, like, anything has any reason to be. And all these things that are, like, the perfect versions of what they think reality should be. War beyond any scale they can imagine, and stuff like that. Orcs tall as mountains, the greatest battles ever, the gods, everything you'd ever want to see in a vision for an orc. One thing they do see, they see this gigantic orc, so big he's got spaceships flying around his head, and he's got these giant tusks and these big ass horns, and he's got loads of arms all wielding different guns screaming to the heavens, right? And when the vision fades, when the vision finally passes, that little grot is like, he looks up because our guy is now standing over him, just like bearing down on him, and he points right in his face and is like, listen closer, I'll batter you. he gets like right down to this grot's level, points right in his face, and he goes, some orcs are strong, some orcs are clever, I'm both. For the record, that is like the best summary of our guy ever.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And this is an odd moment, right? Because going through the vision changed this grot. He went from being the grot he was to a new grot. a grot that our guy goes on to name Makari, right? And Makari is both this particular grot and kind of an existential concept. We'll get into that properly later because it's a big part of the story, but Makari is not one grot. He is whichever grot needs to be Makari at the time.
Okay?
Just yeah. So you know. Right? So our guy explains to this boy, right, you're going to do a couple of things, right? You're going to make a banner of what we just saw. This big-ass orc with the horns and the gun and the uh-huh. arms and the guns and all that, right? So he gets his getting stick and he attaches it to a piece of the sheet metal he used to live under. And he's like, well, I've not got anything to paint it with. So our guy has Makari stab him in the leg and use his blood for paint. And he draws this really shoddy version of the picture. I'll show you. This is Makari. This is a model of Makari you can field in the actual game. And that's the banner. So he draws that in our guy's blood. Right?
Okay.
And our boy explains to him, your job is to follow me and show that banner wherever I go. And that's it. That's the rule. Grots do what they're told by orcs. They try to kill them once in a while, and they try to run away every chance they get, but otherwise they do what they're told. So he accepts that's his job now. I'm following this big dude, and I'm going to carry the banner. Yeah. For the record, right, after Makari came out of the vision and was, you know, Makari now, and he finds our guy standing over him, our guy has grown. He is significantly bigger than he was when he was just a dead body on that pile.
Okay.
Right, so something's changed, and the two of them know in this moment that this orc is gonna do something big. He is gonna turn the stars green.
He's destined for greatness.
That's exactly it. Yeah, they know big shit's coming.
Uh-huh.
So, with his new banner bearer in tow, our boy charges back through Grotsnik's surgery tent and out into the streets. Scares the bejesus out of Grotsnik in the process, but he doesn't really interfere much. So our guy and Makari now stand in the middle of the streets. And remember, our guy's never actually seen this town that he's in. He doesn't know how he got here, right? So he takes a moment to kind of assess it. And there's this big road goes right through the middle of the place. I think it's called the trackway or the truckway or something like that. And they hear this noise, this celebration going on, right? Just a bunch of orcs shouting. And they realise it's a bunch of the snake bites that are celebrating. No, sorry, death skulls that are celebrating, right? A bunch of the death skull clan are celebrating. And it's their warlord, so there are a bunch of clans of death skulls all over Urk, right? But there's a warlord who is, like, the big boss of the death skulls, right? Regardless of your clan, this guy's in charge. Like, or, sorry, of which part of the death skulls clan you're in, this guy's in charge. His name's Dregmek, right? Big fucking dude. This guy comes marching round the corner onto this same big-ass road that our guy's standing in the middle of, with a bunch of his Death Skulls troopers following him, and they're all having a celebration. He's, like, telling them about this fight that they were definitely with him for about 5 minutes prior, but they're all, like, loving him retelling the story that they were just there for. Having the time of their lives. And he walks a bit doing this trekway towards our guy, and our guy just shouts at him, you're an offence to the gods.
Okay.
It's like, you're a fucking pathetic orc. You're a fucking embarrassment to the gods. Just shouts this at him from the other end of this road. I'll tell you now, Dregmek is a big bastard, right? He weighs like 5 times what our guy does. He's like easily 3 feet taller than the fucker, and he's coated in armor made from alien bone and then coated again in lead. Right? And the gun he carries is a big 8-barrel Gatling cannon.
Yeah.
Right? He is a fucking big dude, right? And our guys just screamed at him from the other side of the street, you're a fucking offense to the gods. It's brave or incredibly stupid. No one's quite sure what.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Ah, I like to think it's a little bit of both. So yeah. They have this little back and forth where Dregmek is like, what the fuck did you just say? And our guy repeats it quite clearly and quite eloquently to him that he is, in fact, an embarrassment to the gods. It's a shit show of an orc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wasn't even like a challenge, it was just a flat-out statement. Like, that's it. That's what's happening here, mate. Like, I'm not trying to get you to start a fight, I'm just telling you what I think of you. So, Dragomek obviously starts preparing himself to, like, turn this guy to paste. So he gets his gun ready and all that. But the thing is, right, the sun is behind our guy. It's early in the morning, so it's low sun. So Dragomek can barely see him, because Dragomek's the guy that got the shoddy eye off a off of the dock.
Yeah.
It's an eye, I guess. So he can barely see this fucker with the sun behind him and for the distance and that. So he's like squinting to try and get a good look at this guy, and he realizes he's wearing, like, you know, goth runt armor, because that's what the last thing he was a runt in the goth tribe. So he's like, So he starts riling up his squad of troopers, like, look at this pathetic little fucker, like, just got dragged in here half dead 2 days ago. Got pieced back together by the dock, and now we get to finish him off again. Right? Just starts ripping the piss out of him in the streets. Which is pretty cool, pretty fun way to do things. And, again, our guy basically just rips the living piss out of him.
Oh.
Yeah. So Dragomek's kind of done with him, so he demands a name from our boy. He's like, what's your name so I can write you on my gun when I'm done with you? And by this point, right, the whole town knows this is going on, because there's two orcs screaming at each other in the street, and one of them is, like, one of the big dogs, right? So everyone in the town is watching this. They're all hiding around corners or around buildings or, say, windows and stuff. Wherever they can find a spot to watch, everyone's watching. There's grots climbing on top of orcs to get a better view, right? Everyone's watching this. And our boy stares this fucker down and screams at him, and I'm going to quote this directly from the book because it's an incredible quote. I am the warlord of warlords and the prophet of Gork and Mork. They speak through my tusks and my fists and my head. I am Ghazkul, and I will bring great slaughter.
Oh my god.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what Dragomek's response to that was?
Bring it on? I don't know.
See, that's what I was expecting. Dragomek's response was basically just, yeah, that's not going to fit on my gun. And then he just pulled the trigger and started firing.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Name's bring too long, motherfucker. So, all the orcs watching are basically looking at each other like, what the fuck did he just say? Who the fuck is this guy? And then, yeah, Dragomek's just like, nah, your name's too long. It's not going to fit on my gun. And then just starts firing at him.
Yeah.
So, as you can imagine, with an 8-barreled Gatling cannon, it's a shitload of bullets start flying Ghazkul's way. And you think, well, Ghazkul's going to die for the third time. Interestingly, no, because not one of the bullets hit him, because Dragomek cannot aim for shit. So Ghazkul just marches straight towards this boy, does not get hit once, and then proceeds to beat the ever-living shit out of him. See,
damn.
The thing about Dragomek is that his armor is great for protecting him, except it's also way too big and heavy, so it, like, hinders his movements. So in a fist fight, he's not very good at it. So our guy just goes up and starts clobbering him to the ground, and by the end of it, Dragomek's basically a bloody pulp on the ground. The whole fight was ended with our guy, Ghazkul, headbutting him. And it was a pretty colossal headbutt, because half his skull's now metal. It's now ceramite.
Yeah.
So he just domes the fucker to the ground.
Damn.
Yeah. It then turns into a bit of a different thing. It becomes, rather than like an execution or the end of a fight or anything like that, it becomes like a demonstration, you know? Where he has to like make a point to all the orcs that are watching. And he does kill Dragomek, and then he basically just decides he's in charge now, and then he grabs one of Dragomek's underlings and tells him he's in charge of the snake bites now, as long as he follows Ghazkul. It's like, you do what I say, you're in charge of those idiots. Deal? And the guy's basically like, Deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever gets me out of a severe headbutting. Oh. And I'm going to say that's a good place to leave off for today. But that is the birth of Ghazkul Mac Uruk Thraka and his banner waver, Makari.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Ghazkul or our guy.
Our guy. Yeah, because I wanted to give him that moment of really getting his name out there, you know? Because he doesn't have a name until that point where he just decides what it is right then and there and screams it at this guy.
But the thing is, he knows at that point.
Yeah, that's exactly. The gods gave him a name while he was, like, having his visions.
Yeah, he just knows.
He just knows. That's exactly it. It's the thing with Ghazkul. It's that he just knows stuff. The gods tell him. He just knows.
He's the bearer. Bearer.
That's exactly it. So what do you think of our boy Ghazkul so far? Oh, actually, I should show you. So this is, I believe, what the banner is actually meant to look like. I don't know for a fact, but that is the cover of the limited edition book of, you know, the whole story of Ghazkul Thraka, Prophet of the Wa. And I think that is what the banner is actually meant to look like and does look like by the end of his story. But at the start, it is just painted on a bit of scrap metal. And this is Ghazkul, by the way.
Bruh.
Not at the point we're at. He's not quite this big. He's not quite this heavily armored or anything. But this is the right orc. This is just what he becomes moving forward.
I mean, yeah.
Big dude, yeah. Yeah. I've been excited for this. As soon as you said you want to talk about orcs, I was like, ooh, Ghazkul. But Ghazkul is like, he is the big guy of the orcs, right? That's like, he is the bulk of the orc storyline. So we are really into the thick of it now for like main storyline shit. As I'm sure you can tell, because the style's changed a bit to a more storytelling way of doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a good way of doing it. But yeah, I hope you're enjoying it so far. I hope all of our viewers are enjoying this so far.
Me too. I mean, personally, I think this was one of the better stories. Like, in-depth stories of, like, a specific character, and I do actually like that.
Well, that's the whole point of... kind of cool. That was our whole idea for moving forward from Season 4, was to go into these in-depth stories of individual characters. And I just... Since you just said orcs, I was like, there isn't a huge variety of them, but there is a lot of shit goes on. So I was like, some of the smaller stories are quite funny, and they give you a good idea and a good understanding of what the orcs are like. So I was like, we can power through a bunch of the smaller stories and then deep dive into, like, the big characters, you know?
Yeah.
To give you that kind of... the variety, but also to build the knowledge and kind of give you an understanding of what's really happening with this culture, this group. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we're going to be on this guy for a while. We've got like another 4 episodes of this guy's story minimum.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're getting like, we're getting absolutely elbow deep in Ghazkul Thraka here.
I love that.
Much like Grotsnik. I imagine he was elbow deep in his head at one point.
Disgusting,
absolutely.
But do you want me to round it off for this time then?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Iterators of the Imperium Podcast, Season Quinky 5. Yes, I'm never gonna forget that word. It's been me, Miss, and of course, Ryan, and we will see you in the next one. Take care, and peace.
Bye.